if there is some kind of suppression of all this, how do you explain what's going on with Elon Musk? I mean, one man is doing multiple things, and they're moving us either into space and also sustainability.
Yeah, that was a great question. Elon is an interesting character. I mean, some people will look at him as controlled opposition and not to be trusted. And I don't know. His position on UFOs, in my opinion, is quite suspicious because he's very dismissive, very, very dismissive. Oh, we've got 6,000 starlings. We would have seen it by now. So I'm kind of two opinions on that. One, he's read in. NDAs, you know, he can't talk about what he knows because, I mean, he's a private guy launching, you know, satellites and sensors into space. It's no longer NASA. It's become a private thing. These guys could say something if they wanted to, right? They're not beholden to government. So he might be under an NDA. But there was one thing that I really, I noticed with Elon, and it was when he was doing an interview with Lex Fridman, and they were talking about consciousness. And I was really surprised by what he said. He said, well, you know, if you damage the brain, you damage consciousness. So therefore, it's generated by the brain. And I was like, that, from a guy that's very smart, is a really dumb thing to say. Because if I take a radio and I bash it in with a baseball bat, does that mean that the music can't be... is it generated by the radio? No, it's a signal that's being received by that radio. I've not damaged the signal. I've just damaged the receiver, the renderer, the translator, the amplifier of that signal, right? So I found that to be very dismissive. So I think that it's either that he's read in and that he can't talk, or actually he's just very dismissive of things that aren't in his wheelhouse. So, you know, aliens and like woo-woo consciousness, no, nonsense. He's not thinking about it enough, in my opinion. I think that's more likely, but I'm open to the idea that he might actually be, you know, up to his eyeballs in secrecy and stamps of NDAs. But that was a great question, and I agree.
So I've had experiences with orbs as well. Through your own research, I know you're not sure what they are, but have you gotten any clue from elsewhere what they might be?
Well, I'm open mainly to the idea that it's something of a higher topology, a higher dimensional framework. And again, I was very interested by the fact that Oak Shannon, this guy that's, you know, running special projects at Los Alamos, was like, our working group really feels that this is a higher dimensional presence that's just coming down into our lower dimensional plane. I don't know if anyone here's read the book Flatlands. He recommended it to me, and it's about a world that lives in two-dimensional space, so everything's flat in the flatlands, and it's about a sphere that comes into the 2D plane, and how is that perceived? And so I think it could be similar with this, is that you're perceiving a slice of what this is. I also think that because it seems to be responsive to higher energetic states like love and gratitude and these kind of like, you know, higher threshold states of consciousness, I'm not against the idea that this is my ancestors or my spirit guides or whatever this might be, but I don't think it's alien in the sense of a planetary civilization checking us out and sending probes. I don't think it's black technology from, you know, the governments, because... Well, it could be, but it would be terrifying if it was, because they are able to, you know, pick up on your conscious thoughts and send orbs to come and check you out. No, I actually do think it's more likely to be something of a higher evolution of reality where these understandings about love and gratitude and powerful energies are much more present. And so when you're invoking these kind of energies with the intention of something kind of validating that experience, like show me that you feel this, show me that you like have this understanding, then it turns up. That to me is a good signifier, unless it's a manipulating element that's trying to fool us otherwise. But like I said, it's led to me being here. So I'm actually very positive about it. So yeah, I don't have definitives, but for me, it leans more towards just higher expressions of reality that we're not living in but can experience, you know.
Oh, thank you. Yes, do you feel like you still have some maybe communication going on with something beyond?
I think that whatever it was that decided to turn up, it inspired me, and I think that in of itself was a communication. It's a very novel form of communication. It's not a clear message. I wasn't told anything. I didn't get telepathic thoughts, but it was enough of a communication that there is something out there that it kept me going to this day. Do I feel like I'm in communication with those orbs now? Not necessarily, but I feel like I'm in constant communication with the universe. like, not in any way that's special. I just think that the universe is conscious and we're conscious. So we're always in a constant state of communication with it. It's just whether or not you interpret those messages, right? You know, it speaks through events and people and places. And if you're not going to look at that through the lens of these might actually be communications to me, something of a higher order that's giving you experiences that teach you. If you don't see it that way, then you won't see it as communication. But I kind of see this whole universe as a form of communication.
First of all, thanks. Great talk.
Thank you.
Really good. You know, it's really
I was a bit nervous, I won't lie, but I've tried.
No, it's interesting to see how this is kind of like next generation contact talk
right.
Now, you know, really going from the physical to what it means. And so I appreciate you going there.
Thank you.
That's really where we need to go. I'm curious, though, speaking of the physical, though, the manifestation, the arm, the
yeah.
Mark in the arm, what happened? What do you think that was? How do you think that happened? And, like, where did it go?
So, good question. Also, you're right. And some of the kind of older school guys who were very nuts and bolts, they've come into this. Like Nick Cook, who wrote The Hunt for Zero Point and was always a very like nuts and bolts guy. He's now on the Bigelow Institute for Consciousness Studies and writing about life after death. So it's like the deeper you go into this subject, it's an undeniable connection you start making with the immaterial and the more kind of astral. But sorry, what was the actual...
The
marks,
what,
yeah,
what
the
you,
marks.
What do you think?
So like my kind of leaning on like one side or the other is like either I was taken and they did some form of, you know, experiment, but I actually lean more towards I was sitting on my bed asking for proof. I wanted proof. Now they did turn up, that was proof. But that's real proof, right? Like having something on your skin. So even though it's a little bit uncomfortable and I'm not 100% sure what it means, it is almost like a literal stamp of validation, like there you go. We've been here. And I was like, oh my God, you know? So you know, like, it maybe it's that. That's what I would like to think. That's what I would like to think. But I'm open to other possibilities, just maybe not comfortable with them, you know?
You said that you, where the marks were, now you have a tattoo.
Yeah.
Is that intentional?
Well, yes, it is, actually. I had... Because I've gone through all sorts, as we all do as human beings, and I had a particular moment of tough times happening in my life, and I felt like I needed a bit of a change and a transformation. And I got this tattoo, which is a Greco-Egyptian version of the Staff of Hermes, because I really resonate with Hermes Trismegistus and like the hermetic concepts of reality. And funnily enough, and some of them are actually sitting in the crowd, I then got invited to Egypt. So I had an Egyptian tattoo put onto me as a kind of like, I need to have something symbolic that shows that I'm moving on from, you know, the things that were causing problems for me at the time. This is a new time, a new chapter. And then I get invited to go out to Egypt with Timothy Hogan and some of the guys that are here. And that's when I met all of these people. So, you know, this tattoo is very symbolic to me in that sense. And, you know, I did want it to be in the same place as I had those marks because it feels like a pretty significant, you know, mark that was put on me, so I wanted something there in replacement of it. But those marks, they stayed on my arm for about a year without fading. That's just not normal. And like I said, they had this sheen to them, like a cauterized skin sheen. And there are images of that online. So yeah, I don't know. It was an inspirational thing for sure.
Excellent talk.
Thank
Jay.
You.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
So my question is that in your sober state, you've been able to attract contact, you know, do you find any overlap or differences in the DMT state versus...
I actually haven't ever done DMT.
Never?
No.
Okay, like, I just assumed because you had, like, Andrew on...
Yeah, no, I mean, the funny thing with me is I, like, you know, I have, like, a bit of a problem with losing control, which I recognize, totally want to try and get over in my life. And it's funny, it draws an exact correlation to roller coasters. So I was a rock climbing instructor, mountain biking, I love extreme sports stuff, but I have to be in control. Okay, the brakes are on this thing. I'm not going to use them, but the brakes are there just in case I want to use them. You know, like, oh, I'm climbing up a rock. Well, I decide how high I want to climb. But the moment that on the roller coaster clicks in, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I can't get out. If I don't like this, I'm not going to be able to change it. And that's the exact same response I have with psychedelics. I recognize the importance of them. I've researched them. I have had some, like, you know, medium level experiences on things like psilocybin and stuff. But I want to do it. I want to do DMT. I'm just really scared of it. Maybe you can hold my hand while I do it. But in terms of like a correlation, I think there is. That's why I said that, you know, Graham Hancock, when he did ayahuasca, he started seeing alien greys and flying saucers. You know, what is that? So there is a crossover. And I think that this may talk to what these things are able to do. They're able to traverse through different dimensional topologies and ones that we don't even think are real, like the creative mind and, you know, the imagination and psychedelic experiences. So, yeah, thanks, bro.
Jay, I really enjoyed your talk.
Thank you.
So if you're a little afraid of DMT, I'm a trainer at the Monroe Institute. Why don't you come join us at Monroe and do our kind of consciousness exploration?
I'll do that. I appreciate that invitation, and I will take you up on that. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, right, man.
So it's been years since you've been very vocal on the Wilson Davis notes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to talk about that. Sorry.
It's been about a year plus since you met with Oak Shannon.
Uh-huh.
Is your confidence in the authenticity of those documents continuing to increase, or are you wavering, or what is your current stance on them?
Good question, bro. I really find it interesting that Oak Shannon validated some stuff. So for people that don't know, the Admiral Wilson leaks involves Dr. Eric Davis, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, who had a secret meeting with an admiral called Admiral Thomas Wilson, where, just to cut the long story short, because I don't have a whole lot of time, the admiral wanted to meet with Eric to tell him that he had been exposed to elements of the black budget architecture that were dealing with UFOs, that were dealing with retrievals of vehicles, that he was basically trying to find out what was going on and was told to shut up, or you're going to have, you know, an early resignation and you're going to have some stars knocked off of your shoulder. So he was disgruntled, the admiral, according to this kind of, you know, story that we have. And he wanted to speak to someone, and he had heard that Eric Davis was kind of the guy to speak to. I mean, he's the, you know, preeminent physicist who's got all the exotic ideas about, you know, propulsion and energy and obviously the UFO subject. So he, according to this document, basically met up with the admiral, and the admiral kind of poured his heart out and told him, oh, well, this is what I found out, and this is what I've been shot out of, and, you know, it's real, there's a problem with it. What it was interesting is, and for a long time, the Admiral Wilson documents were literally just words on paper, and I was actually really fortunate, just through a connection I had with a guy in the US Navy who was able to get in contact with Oak Shannon, because Oak Shannon's mentioned in these documents by the Admiral. He says, oh, you know, I wish Oak could be here. Big Oak Shannon fan. He validated you. I was on the phone with him for a few hours, and he said that you're okay, talking to Eric, saying that, you know, Oak Shannon basically validated that you're a trustworthy guy to talk to. And he also said that, unfortunately, he can't be here because he's had a lot of health issues, and his wife, Linda, is taking his calls, but wish he could be here. So that's what's in the documents. And Oak Shannon, as much as he's like part of this, because he was in like the advanced theoretical physics group, like these kind of like groups within the Pentagon that were interested in the UFO stuff, but he's not vocal out there trying to, you know, sell a story or sell a book or do anything. He's a born again Christian living a quiet life with his wife. I just happened to be able to get in touch with him, and he was a little, you know, unsure of what to do, but my friend offered to, you know, we'll come to Florida, we'll meet you, we'll buy you some dinner, and we'd just love to hear your story. And Oak Shannon, when we were sitting there, met him in a seaside restaurant in Florida, and it was so dramatic because we were sitting outside, this American flag was flying behind him, and this lightning storm was happening across the ocean as he's talking about this stuff. I was like, my God, I wish I had a 4K camera. This is perfect. But I didn't. But he validated these things that are in the papers. You know, he was a little, you know, unsure of what to say, and it kind of feels like Linda, his wife, is the gatekeeper here. She was the one who was like, go on, you can say that. Go on, say that to him. Tell him that. And he said that, yeah, the Admiral phoned me up. The Admiral phoned me up. Asked about Eric Davis, you know, wanted to know if he was trustworthy, wanted to know if I could speak to him about things that were sensitive. And Oak Shannon, who had ran in the same circles and had worked with Eric, validated him, gave him a thumbs up. And this was confirmed to me by Oak Shannon himself. He also said he had had a major heart attack, was on the operating table, and Linda was answering his calls. Now, it's funny because the Admiral has been questioned by journalists. Some people have approached him, Admiral Wilson. Now, he says, Oak who? Oak? Oh, I don't know an Oak. And it was funny because when we were at this dinner, I said, well, you know, what do you think of the Admiral saying that you that he doesn't really know you? And he just went like, I know him. He knows him. He knows him well. And so the Admiral Wilson leaks are a really interesting thing. They've been put into the Congressional Record. Gary Nolan was the one that actually recommended that Mike Gallagher, Senator Mike Gallagher, put these into the Congressional Record, which is a pretty incredible thing in of itself, that we have in the Congressional Record a series of documents about reverse engineering programs, interdimensional capabilities, and an admiral that was denied access to all of this stuff. So it's really interesting that that happened. Where I sit on the authenticity, I still lean towards them being legit, mainly because of the Oak-Shannon validation, because it's a physical person outside of just words on paper. But I've had a lot of debates on this stuff with people like John Greenwald and others who disagree and think that it's actually just kind of like a script that's been propped up as a way of pushing forward disclosure and pushing forward a narrative. And frankly, I'm also not against that idea. I try and be really careful with like not concreting myself into a belief, because you are dealing with the intelligence community, and these people are not always straightforward. So it's a gray area, I think. But I still lean towards legitimacy.
Yeah. So I noticed that, or I recall that, like in the description of the CE5 event, you mentioned that the orbs seem to not be generating any light of their own. We had a similar CE5 experience with orbs, and they also seemed to have a weird sheen, or they looked as if they were like, we thought they were kind of projected like a video game screen thing. Anyway, I just thought that was a really interesting detail that you mentioned, that they don't seem to have a texture that, or a light refraction pattern that looks like you'd expect.
I mean, it defies all kind of like logical conventions of what light does, right? So it's just another indicator that this is something really novel. And that's also why I didn't fully dismiss the idea of it being like a psychic projection, a tulpa, like the Buddhists would say, because, well, if it's almost being coaxed from your imagination, then it doesn't technically exist and the light would act differently. But honestly, that's a mystery, and it's fascinating. So yeah, it's cool that you had a similar experience, and people have had experiences all over the world with this kind of stuff. Orbs especially. Like, there seems to be a lot of categories of orbs. You know, blue orbs, yellow orbs, orange orbs, red, white. So many. I don't know if it's the same phenomena. I've only ever seen the orange ones. But it's interesting that there's clearly exotic light physics at play there.